This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, my God. I love that song. Good luck getting that out of your head. I just roam around screaming that lyric at my shoes.
Which one? When you're drinking?
You only smile like that when you're drinking.
It's so catchy.
I'm sure your shoes?
Nobody thinks you're crazy for that.
But I do remember. It's a great song.
With a sound like that, he better be from the South.
You smile like that when you're drinking. You've heard Something in the Orange. He has a lot of great hits. But earlier today, as the person on the show that tries to introduce the boys to music that did not come from the 80s era, I forced them all to listen to some Charles Godwin. And I need to look this up and see if he's coming to Kansas City.
I'll tell you right now.
If you like Zach Bryan, you will love Charles Godwin. I am obsessed. Obsessed with his voice. He's like a real country person, I'm certain.
Brian is from Oklahoma.
He's been on a horse.
Contraire, mon frere. He was born in Japan. Hardly a country artist.
Anyway, look up Charles Wesley Godwin. You will love him.
He was born in Okinawa. I think one of his parents was in the military. I'm looking up Charles Godwin concert.
I'm not seeing anything tour. In Kansas City.
I think he's not here yet. It's coming.
A lot of California, some Oregon, Georgia, and then he's heading overseas.
Did we ever get closure on the Zach Bryan controversy?
No, I don't want to know. Just let me like my song. You only smile like that when you're drinking. Please just let me like the song.
Okay.
Don't tell me he's a horrible person. I want to like the song.
There were allegations. We don't know.
I just want to like the song.
He was allegedly not very nice to his ex-girlfriend, Chicken Fry.
Her name is Chicken Fry?
That is what she goes by.
Did she only smile like that when she was drinking?
I think a lot of his songs are about their relationship.
Okay.
Chicken Fry. 11 herbs and spices.
Okay.
Brie LaPaglia.
So you got into the Netflix documentary about Gabby Petito.
We're going to talk about
it. Is this a Run, Do Not Walk?
Well, I hate the reality TV, docudrama, murderabilia, you know, just the whole, we as a society ingest far too much crime content. We do. It's disgusting. It's not good for our diet. And so I just didn't want to watch it. Okay. I just didn't. And I started it in the kitchen the other day. And I do think there is a lot of value in watching the first episode. We know what happens.
How many episodes are there?
She's dead, he's dead, and his parents knew. I mean, that's if we're going to be honest, that's what happened, okay?
I think that's fact.
They are complacent. What I didn't realize, and this is for every man and woman listening, and man, if you have daughters, she was vlogging. She was trying to become like a video blogger and make her money doing that. Okay. She wrote a lot of diaries. It is a really terrifying look in real time at the time of how domestic violence starts. And they interview her friends, and he seems like a nice enough guy. And then all of a sudden, the friends are kind of shoved to the side. They don't see her as often. And then you start seeing in her diaries and in the text messages between the two of them, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much.
And who's, then who's writing that?
Between the Gabby and the Brian. And then it slowly sort of dissolves into him saying things like, I'm just so sad. You make me so sad. And then her reply started to be things like, I'm so sorry. I need to do better. And it is a heartbreaking look at how, like the frog in the boiling pot of water, right? Mm-hmm. Where it starts out, and I'm sure the first few months or dates were fine, and then where it ends up. And I think it's important for parents to watch this because her mom and dad seem almost completely oblivious right up until the end where it's too late.
Her parents.
Her parents. Mm. Because think about it, Scott. If a 20-something is in trouble, who's going to likely know that first? And I hope that in a lot of cases, it's maybe mom or dad. I hope that's the case.
It's going to be her friends.
It's going to be her friends. Mm-hmm. And you see that with this. And, you know, parents are checking in because she's out of state. How is everything? Oh, it's fine. Eh. And so I think it's just it's a really sad cautionary look because they have her text messages and the videos that never made it onto YouTube and all of the things.
Well, they have it now, but she had to die for them to get.
He's crazy. He's an abuser. And then what is infuriating is that there is a man who calls 911. It is not a woman. I want to be clear about this. This is not like a man-hating topic here.
And this is when they're in Utah.
They are in Utah. A man calls 911 and says, I need to report domestic violence. We just saw it. And the operator says, okay, what did you see? And he says, there is a van. It's a very specific van. Like, you would know this van, Scott. It's a weird shape. You know, they were traveling in this van. So he describes the van, says, I saw him hit her three times. She's crying. Then they got in the van and they left. She needs help. Hmm. Then you've seen what happens after that. Police pull them over. This is all on body cam. And it's heartbreaking to watch that because you know she's going to be dead in what? 24 hours, 48 hours?
Yeah, probably. Is this a documentary or a series?
It's a docu-series.
So,
and I don't know how many, and it's, I believe, Netflix. You really only need to watch the first one.
So there's an actress who portrays.
No. It's a documentary, but it's four or five. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like a movie.
I understand. All right. Okay. So it's a multi-part documentary.
Yes.
So Gabby Petito is actually in.
Oh, yeah.
Film. Okay.
She was a vlogger, so there's hours and hours of footage that she had captured herself.
And so they're showing on Instagram, oh, this is so romantic and so fun, and we're on this trip, and we're being nomads in a van. What do you call that, Sam, when you live out of a van?
A vagabond?
We used to call it homeless. What do you call it today?
Van life, yeah.
They're doing this van life. And so the photos on Instagram, you know, he's kissing her with the sun going down and in this stunning sunset in Utah. Well, the clips that did not make it on Instagram, they now have as evidence. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of him giving her the stink eye and fighting and she's crying.
Well,
and
vlogging's like Facebook, where you only put the good stuff on there.
Bingo.
Even if your life is falling apart.
Bingo.
Everybody else thinks, man, it's never been better for her.
Everyone wants to romanticize.
Yeah,
the couple in the time. Why can't I think it's the nomadic life? There's a name for it that escapes me.
Are you
because
a gypsy?
I would last about 7 minutes doing that, but
it's called van life.
I think it's important to watch if you have daughters, and I think I will also applaud that there were men who tried to step in and help. And you will be screaming, "Why didn't? What is the police? What was their obligation to her, Scott, when they pulled that van over and they knew she had been struck because they let them go?
Well, I thought in most states, maybe Utah's different. In most states, if there is an allegation or a suspicion of domestic battery, somebody's going to jail.
Somebody is being removed from the situation.
Right.
Yes.
He did not. And I got to that point in that first episode and I'm like, I can't watch this. I'm going back to my Saturday Night Live reels.
There's only three episodes, by the way, from the text line.
And why are his parents not in prison? I need someone to explain that to me, but I'm sure that comes later.
It says here in this story from the USA Today, Petito and Landry began dating early in 2019 and were engaged in July of 2020. Throughout their relationship, Landry attempted to control Petito, her friend Rose Davis says. She remembers an evening when Landry snatched Petito's ID so that he couldn't go out. Couldn't go out.
He stole her ID that night so she couldn't go to the bar with her girlfriend to have some drinks.
He berated Petito for working at Taco Bell and called her disgusting. Later explaining his objection stemmed from worry. I worry that you'll leave. It's just that I couldn't have my life without you.
And in this text, Scott, you start to see it where he's controlling her. He's controlling her. He's controlling her. And she reverts back to, I'm sorry, I need to do better, I don't deserve you. And you're just going, oh my God, honey.
She told her friend Davis, I don't deserve him.
Yeah.
I'm hurting his feelings, I'm a bad person. And Petito pleaded to Landry, don't try to control me because it only makes me mad. I love you so much, but it's the way you speak to me that hurts the most.
That's classic manipulation.
It is. And it's like, I don't know that we've ever had something. You know, you look back at like O.J. Simpson and Nicole Brown Simpson, and you know after her death, she had those photos hidden in a vault of the domestic violence, of her black and blue and all those things. This is so hard to watch, but I think important because, again, it shows the diaries and the text messages, like at the time, the snapshot of that time, the back and forth. And any parent would go, oh, my God, if I had known anyone was talking to my daughter like that. You would move heaven and earth to get her out of that situation.
Of course. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. We've got Terrible Joke Tuesday coming your way at 3:45 this afternoon. We'll start asking for your jokes in about 7 minutes or so. Just remember, they have to be arable, but they have to be terrible. Translation, dad jokes. Okay, and we'll do those at 3:45 this afternoon. We have been telling you about this asteroid that may or may not hit the Earth in December of 2032. It is a city killer.
Run up those credit cards now, people.
It is asteroid YR4 2024, and the odds of it hitting the Earth continue to climb. Originally located in December of last year, 2 months ago. They said originally it had a 1 in 83 chance of hitting the Earth. That quickly increased to 1 in 67. That then increased to 1 in 53. And it now stands, and then it was 1 in 46. And now it is 1 in 43.
So it went from a 1.1% chance to a 2.3% chance to now a 2.6% chance.
That is correct.
What they're not telling you, and what is often left out of studies like this, because these scientists are far smarter than we are and far smarter than we will ever be, is how many projections did they run to come up with the 2.8% chance?
It only takes one, Sam.
2.6.
My apologies. Because if they ran a billion projections, because, you know, they're throwing in a number of factors. They can't control what's going to be happening in space, but they can try to predict. So they're throwing in a number of variables to try to figure out where this thing might fly. If they ran a billion projections and it only hit us on 2.6% of them, I like our odds.
Okay.
If they ran 50 projections and it hit on 2.6% of them, I'm pretty concerned.
Now, they did say, I think you were in Vegas when this one came out, because I scared Mackie too.
Just start spending.
Start spending.
They did say, if you're in Vegas, just lay it all out there.
Right. So it if it were to hit the Earth, it would either land in the Pacific Ocean or it would go basically in East and then Central Asia. It would be go through like, what was it saying? Like Thailand, India.
Essentially draw a line parallel with the equator, 150 miles right. South of the equator.
And then if it were to hit Africa or the Atlantic Ocean or South America, it would be below the equator. And it would hit in December of 2032.
Everybody freak out. Mm-hmm. Double mortgages. Skydiving.
They don't know exactly how big it is. By the way, I find this kind of stuff absolutely fascinating. That they can find something way out there in space and know exactly when, roughly, it would hit and where it would hit.
Well, it's math.
Which is why you and I don't understand it at all. Now, the one thing they don't know is exactly how big it is.
That would be helpful.
It would be helpful. That is correct. It may be as big as a football field. The numbers were in here somewhere in this story. I can't remember where it was. Here it is. It's either, they're very specific. It's either somewhere between 131 feet in diameter, 131 feet, and 295 feet. So it's either a little less than half a football field or roughly the size of a football field. Okay.
Either way, grab onto your knees.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And I don't want to miss a thing.
I'm not getting into the politics of it, but I do think it is a interesting story. Dozens of staff members at Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence lost their jobs this week following a large cut to the federal workforce. According to a statement from the university, the final day for many of the employees was last Friday, and the impact was felt across multiple different departments. So we don't know how many, but it was dozens of staff members at Haskell were let go last week as part of the massive government cuts in personnel. One person, though, who is going to work for free is the women's basketball coach. I guess they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's going to get them to the finish line because that's a noble and right thing to do. And what does that mean for their classes or the tuition they've paid if there's no one to teach? I don't think we should go there. Well, I don't know.
A number of them were professors.
Yeah.
According to a story that I read on Fox 4's website earlier this morning. But there were some, I think the cross country coach got cut. The women's basketball coach got cut. And I'm not going to get into a political discussion. I just, if you'll allow me, entertain me for one moment to make just a brief statement. I have no trouble trimming the fat from government. I have no doubt that there is waste, abuse, maybe even some fraud. The federal government is too large. That's a fact. But as we're making these cuts, trimming some of this fat, so to speak, keep in mind these are human beings with families. And can we not give them the common courtesy of saying your job is being eliminated in a month or in 2 months? Allow them an opportunity to figure out where they're going to go next, how they're going to put food on the table while they're looking for another job. Let's get rid of all the waste in federal government, but let's do it with a heart. These are human beings. And a lot of them are getting emails. They're being fired an email that says you're being fired because of your performance. That is false. At least give them a thank you. Hey, we're just trimming some waste, some fat off the bone. We're letting you go. Thanks for your service. It had nothing to do with the performance. It just has to do with us trying to make some changes. But at least have some compassion and a heart for these people whose lives you've just upended in the middle of winter.
They do it in private business all the time.
I understand. And I would say the same thing if it was a private business, too.
Agreed.
Because Southwest Airlines just trimmed today 15% of its corporate staff. And I'm sure they were shown the door.
Don't be the guy at that one company during the pandemic who invited 1,500 people onto a Zoom meeting and said,
that's
if
right.
you're on this meeting, bye, click.
And you'll recall when that occurred, we were equally critical of him, too.
Yeah.
On more than one occasion. I'm off my soapbox. My rant is over. 913-586-7798. This is when you start sending in your arable but terrible jokes. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks, we will do terrible jokes at 345.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here from Fox News. It looks like the Greater Idaho campaign has taken one more step forward. If you're not aware, there are 13 counties in the eastern part of Oregon that are looking to break away and join Idaho. That has taken, it's nowhere near a done deal, but it's taken one more step forward.
Wouldn't the rest of the states have to?
I don't believe so.
Agree?
No, I believe the state would just have to agree to let them go.
Huh.
And then Idaho would have to agree to take them in. Is the way I understand it.
Old Greater Idaho.
An Ohio sex worker charged with fatally drugging 4 customers and trying to kill a 5th.
Oh, it's sweeping the nation, apparently.
I'm not laughing. Has been found competent to stand trial. Rebecca Auburn, 34, understands the nature and the objective of the proceedings and can assist in her defense, according to a judge. It was not immediately clear whether a trial date has been set. Auburn was indicted in October of 2023, in connection with nearly 30 crimes, including multiple counts of murder, aggravated robbery, felonious assault, she's pleaded not guilty. Authorities have alleged that from January to June of 2023, Auburn met 4 customers for sex in the Columbus, Ohio area before she fatally drugged them with fentanyl and then robbed them. She was charged with felonious assault and aggravated robbery and the attempted overdose of a 5th person in December.
I ask you again, how many men have died and we don't even know that it was murder because of the circumstances of those deaths, especially in our entertainment cities? The number is going to blow your mind when it all comes out in the wash. And I think
now you're just talking about the New Orleans one. Now
I'm talking about all of them now.
Okay.
And men, stop wearing your fancy watches out on vacation because they are looking for the watch. It is the first tip off that makes scammers believe you have money.
Mm-hmm.
But I always wear a nice, fancy-looking watch. It's always an $8 watch from the shelf at Walmart. But I get compliments on my watches all the time.
I feel like the women who are drugging men and robbing them and murdering them know they know what they're looking for, Sam. Yeah.
That's a Walmart watch. I don't want that.
Hard pass on Stevie there.
You get a Movado at Sam's.
I stopped wearing a watch about 3 years ago. I used to wear a watch all the time.
You know, I noticed you don't wear your watch anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I stopped wearing it because the battery died and I just never got a new one. Quiet, leave me alone.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That's true. It's in my top drawer.
Buy a new one?
Well, all right. I'll tell you right now, I don't know where to go to get a battery for my watch.
Like any jewelry store.
And then I have to go to the mall.
How cheap is your watch?
It's not.
I don't know.
Is it a nice
err? It's a very nice watch.
Okay. Then
it was a gift, but I don't even remember the name on it. Jack something or other. It's a nice watch. Yeah. But it's not like a Rolex.
Take it to Tibble.
Is it a Swatch?
No. I thought it was a Rolex.
Do not walk in with a Swatch to Tibble.
Well, no.
Can I get a battery in my watch?
No, I wear G-Shock. I have one expensive watch. It's a G-Shock. And it is one of the indestructible watches, right? And so if I take it apart, it voids the warranty. So I have to take it into Tibble, pay them $35. It's not a fancy looking watch in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it's a survival watch. I pay them $35. They change the battery out for me, and the warranty stays true.
Can we talk about that for a second? What is a survival watch? What is that?
It's waterproof. I just to test it out one time, made sure that the sidewalk was clear, dropped it off of a building to see if it would break.
What?
It didn't. Yeah.
Okay.
It is a survival watch.
Meaning the watch will survive. You're not going to.
Correct.
It
doesn't have like rope that comes out of it that you can rappel down a mountain if you're being chased.
I do have a watch like that.
It doesn't give you CPR.
No, it does not give you CPR. It does not have a built-in AED.
Does it play Staying Alive?
You can tell by the way I use my watch.
Come with an EDC.
I would hope so.
It is the EDC.
I'm trying to figure out what kind of watch I have. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Dead?
Well, it is a dead watch. Yes. It is dead.
I keep watching it. It's not moving.
No, I'll figure it out here in a minute. Saturday Night Live, 15 million viewers the other night. NBC's best night in a handful of years.
Yeah. God, the stars in that audience.
Three and a half hours.
There was really, if you weren't invited to that party and you are a member of the Hollywood establishment,
you're really not.
Let's talk about the FOMO that you are sitting at. Like, there's just so many stars there. They had an overflow room, and if you weren't invited to that,
By the way, you mentioned this yesterday on the show. Who was it that was holding up the Gilda Radner?
Lorraine Newman.
What a very sweet move.
Oh yeah, and Jane Curtin, the original Jane. You ignorant. Yeah.
Which, by the way. Was it on the special? It was Steve Martin, wasn't it?
Yes.
During his monologue, who said he was the one who originally came up with Jane, you ignorant. Yes.
Only he told her to her face and not
backstage.
On television.
And then who was it who went out and Chevy Chase went out and actually said it on stage? And that's how that all got started. A letter written by George Washington providing rare understanding of his confidence in regular Americans to fight and win. The Revolutionary War has been put up for sale. The first U.S. president penned the document as leader of the Continental Army in 1777, shortly after British forces ransacked a vital military supply depot in Connecticut, a devastating action. That fellow General Samuel Parsons wrote him was, quote, an event very alarming to the country. The handwritten reply, hidden from public view for decades in a private collection in New England, shows that Washington refused to consider the episode as a crippling blow to his military campaign. By the way, this letter is only expected to fetch $150,000.
Really?
I would think it would be more valuable than that. Okay. A signed copy of Lincoln's 1864 election victory speech sold for $3.4 million at Christie's a year earlier.
No, so you know this. The worth or the value of anything that goes on the auction block is what people are willing to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
There are so many history buffs out there and museums and, like, why would you not want that in your collection when there are people that will pay multiple millions of dollars for things that you and I scratch our heads about on this program all the time.
Maybe because it's just, I know this is going to sound weird, it's just one of God knows how many letters that are still in existence written by George Washington. It isn't his, a certain speech when he was inaugurated or the Emancipation Proclamation that Abraham Lincoln wrote and delivered.
But all of those things now live in presidential libraries. Even to have something written by one of our founding fathers should, to me, should be worth more than that. But all right.
Well, when I read the story, I thought 150,000, that sounds a little low. By like, I don't know, 2 million? Experts are saying no caffeine drinks for kids at all. Most parents try to get their children to eat at least some nutritious foods as part of their diet, but the beverages they consume may not get as much attention. Now new guidelines offer two suggestions for what kids and teens should be mainly drinking, and they are on the boring side of health.
Water
and milk. Mm-hmm. What was the first time you ever had coffee?
Probably senior year of high school into college.
I was 14.
I didn't like the taste of it.
Ooh, I loved it.
Black?
No. With cream and a little sugar. Now I do cream and honey.
I was 11.
11?
And you're 6'4".
I was out of water. 6'5", thank you.
Okay. Wow.
I was out of water, and I was in my aunt's car, and I was just thirsty. I just left soccer practice, and I needed something to drink. And she's like, well, this is all I have. And it was a very sugary, like, latte or something. And now I just drink black coffee. But I was hooked from the first sip.
Did you ever notice it's only tall people who get offended when you cut them down an inch or so?
I mean, if you said
two,
to me, are you like 4'3", I'd be like, really? But sort of.
6'4", 6'5", thank you very little.
Not offended.
What percentage of men, look this up, say they are 6 feet?
Who aren't?
Who
many.
Are not 6 feet.
So I even have the medical records to prove it. I was once, when we started this show, I was 6 feet tall.
I shrunk you?
I am 5'11".
Wait. Is it possible you were just wearing taller shoes or something?
Wear flip. My appointments are always in May. I always wear flip-flops, and I take them off because I want a true reading.
27% of men lie about their height.
Hmm. Well, that goes back to the presidents. Is it true there has never been a president under 6 feet tall? Or very few of them under 6 feet
there,
tall?
Oh, no, there have been several.
Are you asking their doctor or them?
No. Good point, Sam. But I think the majority of, I would just say, men in politically high places and even CEOs, there is some correlation between those things and height. And there shouldn't be. Some of the most confident people that you meet mm-hmm. happen to be on the shorter end of that scale.
Well, let's just say that a lot of them either claim to be 6 feet tall or, let's see, Abraham Lincoln was the tallest at 6'4". Lyndon Johnson, the second tallest at 6'3.5". Trump claims to be 6'3". Thomas Jefferson was 6'2.5". Clinton, 6'2.5".
Studies find that someone who is 6 feet tall or taller on average earns nearly $166,000 more during a 30-year career than somebody under 6 feet
tall. Okay, but it's not because that person is taller. Those 3 inches aren't giving you a couple hundred thousand dollars. Is it confidence?
Yeah.
The way you lean in during the interview?
Or even perceived confidence.
Or height can be,
any confidence.
When you walk into an interview, height can be intimidating. I know we got to get to break so we can do terrible jokes. Shortest president, by the way, was James Madison at 5'4" tall.
Wow.
Benjamin Harris was the second shortest. Terrible Joke Tuesday, when we return, get your terrible but arable jokes in now at 913-586-7798. Keep them coming, y'all. Terrible Joke Tuesday. Terrible but arable is the motto. 913-586-7798. Hey, Dana.
Yeah, Scott.
From 4098, did you hear about the Italian chef that died?
I did not.
Yeah, he passed away.
Okay.
Hey, Scott.
Sam.
What did Yoda say when he saw himself in 4K?
I don't know.
HDMI.
All right.
Come
Sam.
On, that was good. Yes, Dana.
Did you hear biologists have finally crossed a watermelon with a cauliflower?
What?
People who eat it, though, are getting a sense of sadness known as melancholy.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
What do you call a factory that makes products that are just, you know, all right?
What do you call a factory?
Satisfactory.
Hey, Scott.
Dana.
What do you call advice you get from a cow?
What?
Beef tips.
Let's stay with the cows here. Hey, Dana.
Yes.
This is from 0575. Did you know scientists have found that cows produce more milk when the farmer talks to them?
No.
Apparently, it's a case of in one ear, out the udder.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
You know, the other day, a huge stack of toilet paper fell on me at the supermarket.
Wow.
Yeah, I was all right. It was just soft tissue damage.
All right. Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Fun fact. Did you know koi fish always travel in groups of four?
Really?
If they're attacked, koi A, B, and C will scatter, leaving behind the D koi.
Out.
Hey, Dana.
Yes?
Once upon a time, there was a king who was 12 inches tall. Oh. He was a terrible king, but a great ruler.
Hey, Dana. I was playing chess with my friend the other day, and he said, let's make this interesting. So we stopped playing chess.
Hey, Scott.
Wow.
Yes?
Why don't the other farm animals like playing basketball with the pigs?
I don't know.
Because they're ball hogs?
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
You know, I never wanted to believe that my dad was stealing from his job. You know, he's a road worker.
Dang it.
When I got home, all the signs were there.
Dang it. I literally had that one queued up, ready to go.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
What do you call a mythical Scottish creature that roams around ringing doorbells?
I don't know.
The Knockless Monster?
Okay. Winner, winner.
Hey, Scott.
Don't you dare steal the next one I've picked.
You know, when I go hiking, I always make sure to bring sedative darts in case I run into a bear.
Huh.
Yeah, there's safety in numb bears.
These are good today, guys.
Scott.
Yeah, Dana.
What do you call it when one banana eats another?
I don't know.
Can of bananalism.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah.
This is from 9951. I tell you, I love to sing when I'm in my car, but only when I'm in reverse.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a backup singer.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Where do giraffes go when they don't feel well?
I don't know.
Jurassic Park? You're welcome.
We didn't thank you. Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
Did you hear about the lizard who couldn't procreate?
No, I did not.
It was a case of reptile dysfunction.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
What brand of shoes do chickens wear?
I don't know.
They wear Reebok, Buck, Buck!
I'm looking for ones that are arable. A lot of these fell off the arable option.
Yeah, real quick. And yes, the watch I have is a Jack Mason. Thank you, guys.
Do you know, Scott, why chickens have stopped crossing the road?
No.
They now call an Uber.
Hey, Sam, I told you I had a great childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad used to have me climb into a tire and he would roll me down the hill.
Really?
Yeah, those were the good years.
Nice.
Did you hear, Sam, this weekend there's a big paddle sale at the boat store?
Really?
It's quite an ordeal.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Sam.
Why don't chickens say anything else?
Why won't chickens say anything else?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, they can't think outside the box. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
Where do ye find a pirate who's lost his wooden leg?
Sam, I don't know. Where do ye?
Right where ye left ye.
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.